Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started. Happy Saturday!
Hey, BE community, how you doing? Y'all.
Here we are.
And we made it. We here.
Yes.
We're here by the grace of God. We are here. So, yeah, it's just us two, but we got a lot to talk about. So I'm excited to dive in. But, you know, before we dive in, how you doing, Toya? How you doing?
Woo! So without going into too much detail, sometimes when God tells you something and you do it, you start second guessing yourself. And you're like, well, God, if you told me to do it, why is it so hard?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be easier to do it if you told me to? Like, why is it so hard to do all the things that you told me to do? So I've been kind of like asking God that because it has been a little stressful over here, a little hard. But yes, I've been asking God, like, did I really hear from you?
Did I miss something?
Because you said to do this and it's just really hard. And my sister was like, well, when I was telling her how I felt, she was like, well, think about Noah. In the ark, and how he told him to build that.
Preach, don't you, Stephanie. Preach.
Don't you think it was hard for Noah when he was building the ark, but he was being obedient? I was like, yeah, that's true. I'm not Noah, but
Oh my Lord. She said, I'm not Noah.
I mean, yeah, it's like. Sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
God calls us to do hard things.
Yes, he does. So stay the course, Toya. Stay the course. Even in the midst of the hard stuff, he is with us, like gracing us every step of the way. So stay the course. That's all I can say. Stay the course and trust him. Trust him. So, but yeah, I feel you. Yeah, I just feel like it's been a hard season. I feel like it's kind of like we're like wading through mud. Like, you're like, I'm trying to move forward, but it's like really thick out here, Jesus. Like,
yes.
Like, and then I'll be like, okay, hold on, let me catch my breath.
Let me catch my breath. And that's how I was. Okay, we took Mason. Well, we took the kids to the apple orchard this week for fall break.
Fun.
And you know, we went to is Hillcrest Orchard where they have these different like family events. They have like pig races and wagon rides and like jumping places and a little playground area. And so, and you, a place where you, of course, can pick apples. So, you know, I let Mason have a little bit of freedom.
Just a little bit.
Because there was two, like, slide-like areas. And he was just going back and forth. But then he pivoted on me. Uh-oh. And started going to this other area. And I was like, Mason, no, stop. So like, and he stops to look at me
and then runs again
and then starts running. And so he knew like I was struggling to catch up with him. And I was,
of course,
by the time I got to where he was trying to go, I was like telling people, can you grab his hand as I'm catching my breath?
Oh, Lord.
What reminded me of that when you said, because I know people were laughing at me and looking at me as I was like huffing and puffing trying to keep up with him.
No, Mason was probably laughing at you too. He probably was looking like, he was like, oh, you trying to catch me?
I said, I gave you a little bit of freedom and you're going to pivot and go to this other area.
Oh, gotta love Mason. He's my godson. Gotta love him. I knew what you was going to say, though. As soon as you said Mason, I knew. I was like, I know where this going. I know where this going.
So that's how I feel. The huffing and puffing what you were describing. Well, you try to get you like in life.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. That's how I feel like. Can it somebody help me? I'm asking strangers. Catch him, please. Oh, God. Hold his hand.
So what happened? Did somebody grab his hand or did you catch up?
They couldn't get it either. He was too quick. By the time she was trying to grab it, he took off. I said, oh, she's like, sorry, I tried. They had a little petting zoo too. That didn't go well. not for Mason at least. Like, it was so embarrassing.
Oh, wow.
Well, he wanted to hold the little baby chicks. Aww. And because like his sisters were holding the baby chicks, and you know, he was like, one, he wanted to hold one. And so I was like, okay, maybe I can help him hold it. And I tried, and I was trying to help him hold it, but then he started like grabbing the baby chick's neck.
Yeah, he was probably trying to squeeze it. But I was thinking boys be rough.
And I was like, oh my God. And then another lady had to help me.
Yeah, you're like, don't kill
the baby for Ryan, because I was trying to get the chick from him. And she had to like pry his hand open to get the.
Wow.
I was like, this was such a bad idea. It was like one of those like mom fail moments where you're why did I let my kid do this? Like, no. I didn't know. I mean, he's four. I thought like I had my hands under his. His was on top and he was holding baby chick. I was just there to catch it in case he let it go. And then he was squeezing the neck. I was like, no, Mason, no, gentle, no.
Not a mom fail moment. Not a mom fail moment.
This lady was like, oh my God, let me help you. So I was like, Ryan, help somebody.
Ryan's hands was full probably with the other three, so. I give him grace.
Ryan thought it was a bad idea.
Oh.
And then he kept coming from the corner after I didn't gave the chick back, talking about how did the experiment go? How do you think it went? Because he heard all the commotion.
Yeah.
But was in the cut somewhere.
Wow. Oh my gosh. It's all right. And here's the thing. I have no doubt that the kids had a blast. Maybe. I have no doubt. They thoroughly enjoyed themselves. I'm sure they slept well that night. So y'all did good. Y'all did good. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think, I mean, literally I was talking with, you know, friend of the show. We had her on last week, Miracle. And she was like, it just seems like everybody is going through something right now. And I was like, I feel like it's warfare. Like, I really feel like it is warfare. And so if you feel like you walking through mud, or if you running and trying to, you know, catch your breath, you can't get to where, you know, if you feel any of the things that we are talking about, just know you are not alone. And I want to encourage us all, myself included, to use it as an opportunity to lean into the Lord. Like, lean in your quiet time throughout the day. If you need to turn it up a notch, like whatever you need to do, use it as an opportunity to lean in, because yeah, it's a lot going on. So yeah, but you're not alone. You're not alone. So
how do you handle, let's talk about some truth.
Let's go to truth. Because we need it.
How do you handle stress in your life, Maya?
You know, I thought I had a pretty good grip up until about 2 or 3 months ago when our world got turned upside down. So I, you know, yeah. If you're watching this live, you know, we just recently had World Mental Health Day. And was I off? No, I was not off. Maya was working, grinding, actually.
When was Mental Health World Day?
It was on a Friday. Yeah, but I mean, we just had a holiday weekend. So, you know, if you're really about that mental health, you could have taken that Friday and then been off that Monday and had you a nice long weekend. But no, not me. I'm none of those days were off for me. So, and I recently have a new project has been added to my plate. And I'm like, dude, I'm struggling with what I got right now. So, yeah, it's just been a lot these last couple months. House is still under construction, still navigating this whole season of loss and grief, and not even season, just the whole new normal behind it all. Like, it's just weird. Holidays are coming up. You know, my husband just had a birthday, so just trying to support him. It's just a lot of different pieces. And I feel like at one point I felt like I had this whole stress management piece under control, Toya, but not as of late. I feel like all the things that I normally do, like, they're not working. And honestly, just because life has been ratcheted up a notch or two, it's like, I can't get a reprieve. I can't get a moment to catch my breath. So I will say this, what I have been doing, because I'm very type A, I'm very like, okay, we'll rest when we get this done, you know, as a reward, if you will, or, you know, this is just a season. We're just going to press through and then we'll, you know, take a break and a vacay or whatever. But because I don't necessarily see that light at the end of the tunnel that I'm used to seeing, and because I have tried to work to get it done and then rest, only to still have something else get done that needs to be done, or something not be done right, or like, I was like, well, you know what? I'm just literally gonna do what I can do, and then I'm gonna stop, whether it feels finished or not, whether there are still questions or not, whether there's still chaos or not. And I'm going to what? Take a break. And I'm going to what? Rest. And I'm going to what? Laugh and relax and chill and do whatever I can in that moment before I pick back up again. And so I have had to get comfortable, if you will, with the chaos. And I have had to get comfortable, if you will, with things not being complete or where I want them to be in order for me to feel like I can step away. Like, I just have to be like, well, guess what? I have to step away right now. And yes, I know there is a fire going on, but I can't put it out. So I am just going to step away. And if the fire is not put out by the time I get back, then hey, I'll grab a bucket and a hose with you and we'll start trying to put the fire out then. But I can't. I can only do what I can only do. And I really feel like that might be the point, Toya. I really feel like God is like, yeah, you're not, you can't get it right. You're not going to get it right. It ain't right. But guess what? You need to worship me anyhow. Mm-hmm. You need to praise me anyhow. You need to do what you know to do. And you need to trust me with the rest. And I mean, if people didn't know I was a woman of faith, they know now, because people been asking me for the past week since I didn't had this extra project. How are you doing? How are you handling things? Hey, I'm doing what I can and I'm trusting God with the rest. Pray for a girl. Pray for your sister. Pray for your girl.
Because I feel like I've reached that point in many areas of my life.
Yes. Yes.
Where I have been crying out to God and saying, God, I surrender this to you. Yep. I surrender this to you. I surrender this and this, and this is yours. I surrendered all.
It's yours.
You know, and quoting back scriptures to him.
Yep.
Hey, you said in your word.
Yep. Yep.
So it's just, and I know I haven't went into the detail with of all the things going on in my life with the world right now, but I know my, you have an inside scoop of all the things. So in this season, with all the extra things going on in my life, I feel like what I normally do to unwind and handle stress, I haven't been able to kind of get my groove because of the added things. I'm like, I'm barely getting hours of sleep sometimes at night because I have to do X, Y, and Z. It's got to get done. And so what I have been able to do, I get to at least take a long bath.
Maybe
watch something. I haven't been doing my walks like I can used to consistently do. It's just, I mean, I got my walking pad still that I can do, I like going outside and getting in the sun. I haven't been able to do it as often as I would like. That helps me release stress. So I do want to, once things settle back down, I need to get back in my rhythm of being able to pause and go outside. But what I have been doing is the baths. Definitely been still getting up, doing my devotion, prayer, reading my Bible, study. That's a necessity.
Oh, it's non-negotiable at this point.
Oh my God, I need you.
With
all of this stuff.
My
kids, work, all these different things. I need you right now.
Dude,
I do try to at least do like some green tea. Let me woosah for a minute.
That's good. And the movement, even though it may not be outside as much as you want, the walking pad, the movement is a great stress reliever. I think that's good. And the green tea. Amen. That's good. In case y'all didn't know, we are sipping tea today. We're sipping tea with BE. Okay. And the tea is truth. Okay. So yes, but that's good. The other thing I would add is I have really had to amp up, along with the tea, being mindful of what I put in my body, because stress makes you more susceptible to getting sick. And especially with the changing seasons, you know, I feel like, you know, my body's been like, okay, like what we doing, you know? And so I've really had to be really intentional about, okay, I'm going to, you know, do high protein. I'm making sure I get my vegetables, you know, I'm drinking my tea, I'm drinking my water, I'm taking my vitamin C, like, you know, really just making sure that I am being intentional in that area, because it can make you more susceptible. Stress can make you more susceptible to getting sick. And so, just having to make sure that I'm taking care of this temple. And I will say, and I know you were like, look, stuff got to get done. I am, you know, if I need to do it at night or early in the morning, I really have been, and I've really been sleeping though. Like, now granted, and the prayer has been this, because for me, I sleep pretty heavy and throughout the night, but when I'm really stressed out, it can wake me up in the middle of the night. And so that's been the prayer lately, where I'm like, God, I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night thinking like, what's going on? What do I need to do? You know, but my body has been shutting down at a certain time each day. And I'm like, okay, weekends included. And I'm like, okay, let me lay myself down, because my body is like, no, ma'am, you need to rest.
God wakes me up in the middle of the night, almost the same time, no matter what time I go to bed. He's like, it's almost like clockwork. 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock. He wakes me up.
There is like, if you look at the, there's a document that I have that kind of talks about like how the Bible talks about the watches of the night. There are certain strongholds that you can pray against during certain watches. And I need to look at, because 3 o'clock is a common time that people wake up. Like when I'm stressed out, that's usually the time that I will wake up. And it gives you insight as to what to pray for. And here's the thing. If you really find yourself dealing with insomnia, am I saying it right? If you really find yourself dealing with insomnia, read the Bible. The devil hate that. He'll let you go to sleep. He will let you go to sleep. So, but if it's at a consistent time, there may be something in particular that the Lord wants you to pray about. So
I'd be like, sometimes, like, God, can we just pray at like 6 o'clock? I mean, I do. I pray right there.
Yeah.
Then I go back to sleep and then I get up.
Yeah.
You know, because Mason's got to get on his bus at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. So
then I normally do my Bible and all the rest of my devotion. I'm like, God.
He's like, can I get a minute?
Let me sleep tonight. And I promise I'm going to do my devotion at 6 o'clock.
That 3 o'clock.
He will not let me sleep, though, until I pray. So.
Yeah. It's something there. So
it don't matter what time I go to bed.
Just be obedient then, because it's something there. It is. But go to bed early if you can. Look.
That's true.
I'm going to tuck them kids in, tell them something. Good night. I'm going to bed too. Look.
Yeah. I wish. Sometimes I can't help it. But if I can get in the bed early, I would.
I feel you. Wow. Yeah. Well, anything else you have to say on truth before we go into events, aka current events?
Oh, let's dive on in, because I know we got a full roster.
We do
of events going on in the world.
Okay. Well, first off, I don't know, Toya. I don't know if you have been watching the WNBA, but I would say over the last year or two, probably the last 2 years, the WNBA has been a vibe. Okay. Now, there's a lot of thoughts and reasoning behind that. You know, I'm just going to be honest and say Caitlin Clark changed the game. Yes, we know it's a white girl who played basketball, and, you know, Black women have been holding down the WNBA for years, for decades. Shout out to all of them. I don't know. Well, I do know. But this girl, Caitlin Clark, CeCe, as my husband calls her. I call her the other woman because my husband loves him some Caitlin Clark. I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't even know who this woman is if it wasn't for him. And he, like, literally, and just because she's a shooter like Steph, who's his favorite NBA player. So he loves her. And so, literally, before she even came in the WNBA, she was a force. People were watching college basketball because of her. And then, of course, it became a thing when she and Angel Reese were competing head to head. So all that to say, ever since she's been in the WNBA, it's like ticket prices have been going up. People have been getting endorsements, which is great, because the WNBA players do not make nearly as much money still as the NBA players, but she's literally changed the game. And so we watch the WNBA the way we watch NBA. Okay. And so, and had the opportunity to go to a game when they were here playing the Atlanta Dream a couple weeks ago. Shout out to our boy Rick Sincere, who hooked us up with some tickets. So, but all that to say, the WNBA is a vibe. If you haven't been to a game, if you haven't watched the game, I encourage you to. So all that to say, shout out to Indiana Fever. Didn't make it as, they didn't win. They made it further than we thought they would with Caitlin being injured. But all that to say, shout out to the Las Vegas Aces, okay? And this is the team that Asia Wilson plays on, who's been like MVP for like 4 or 5 years. You know, and she actually is dating an NBA player, Bam. I can't think of his last name. I think it's Adedobe. I don't know. I'm sorry if I mispronounced his name. But all that to say, shout out to them. They won. They won the championship. And, you know, Asia's been doing her thing for a while. So it was their year. But speaking of WNBA, Victoria's Secret has a new angel. Okay, so we'll watch this clip and then we'll discuss. Okay.
Oh, I'm in a growth journey right now.
Okay, that's why I don't be wanting to cut my ends, because that's all my hair right there. They be like, come in.
That's why I just be minding my business. All right, y'all. As soon as I say something,
be quiet. We got a lot to get to in this hour.
Okay. Yes.
So first things first, this is breaking right now. Victoria's Secret has just announced that Angel Reese is now the first ever professional athlete to be a Victoria's Secret angel. Shout out to her. She will be walking in this year's Victoria's Secret fashion show happening on October 15th at 7 p.m. So you guys can tune in to watch Angel Reese and Missy Elliott. We talked about her performing, or we talked about her today. She'll be performing as well at this show. That'll be
Missy an angel too?
She's not an angel, but she's performing in the show. They have performances in between.
So what does that mean? Like, they walk the runway in their draws?
They walked the runway, but then
in the newest collection, they have the collections dropping.
And it's fire because being an Angel, she'll get to do, you know, things with the brand. She's fire. That's what's up. She's a first. So shout out to Angel.
And she
Reese.
Is a brand. Yeah, shout out to her. And also shout out to Missy for performing.
Yes, and you can watch that on Amazon Prime Video, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram on October 15th at 7 p.m.
Ooh, yeah. She gonna
Yes.
Shout out to Angel Reese. I mean, it's only fitting that she would be an angel, okay?
Yes.
Victoria's Secret. And Angel Reese, what I love about Angel Reese is she stay fly. She be balling hard, but she stay fly. Hair done, nails done, everything did. She be doing her thug fizzle. Like, she'll literally go from being at the Met Gala to, you know, having a game the next day. And so I'm here for it. So congratulations to Angel Reese being featured as an angel for Victoria's Secret. And just, I'm excited for everything else that's to come. There's so much more, I feel like, that is on the horizon for her. I know she's doing endorsements for, like, hair care lines, and I'm here for the WNBA. I feel like they are finally getting their shine, their recognition, their due, and they pay, okay? Pay these women. That's all I'm gonna say. Pay these women. So
congratulations. I love that. When I was in college, when I tried to model, they told me that I had, my body was too athletic looking for what they were. This is back in the day when I was my body
when you're
was
supposed to be a twig
in top shape for, like, volleyball and stuff. They said, like, my thighs were too, you know, I have volleyball thighs, they were strong, you know. We had personal trainers in college, so I have like a little six pack. I was too muscular for what they wanted, but I love that they are using her as a Victoria's Secret model. And she looks good. I saw images of her in, I guess, the new product, and she looked great. So shout out. Woo, woo, woo.
Times have changed. Now it's all about the thick and curvy girls, okay? And we're here for it.
Yeah. No way, no how right now after all these babies. My time has passed.
You still fly, Toya. Don't even sleep on it. Don't even sleep. I'm saying. Yes.
That's six pack, boy. Woo. Been a long time since I've seen that. Let's tell you that.
So it's been a long time.
It's been a long, very long time.
Oh, well, shout out to Angel. Congratulations. So,
yes.
All right. Next topic.
On to the next topic. Now, this one, let me tell you about this. You all have probably seen all the Instagram and social media talking about Derrick Jackson. I don't know if I'm saying his last name correctly, but Derrick Jackson apparently did a live video crying and talking about his current girlfriend. This woman right here in the left with the glasses was his wife.
Okay.
His devoted wife that he divorced for the side chick over here on the right in the halter top.
Oh,
that was a side chick. So he divorced his devoted wife for the side chick. He also bought a house, apparently. Now, this is all stuff I didn't read on social media, so I don't know how true it is. But anyway, this is sipping tea. So
yes, sipping tea.
He bought her a house. And then come to find out, after he didn't divorce his devoted, precious wife. And I think they said, like, she was a Christian and, you know, all the things. And so, turns out, the side chick is pregnant with this other man. This other man's baby.
Wait, it ain't Derrick Jackson's baby she pregnant with.
Not Derrick's baby. But this other man that's in this photo. So, Derrick then bought her a house. And I guess her real man. And so, like,
That's not Derrick Jackson with the dude. Well, I mean, with the side chick. That's her baby daddy. I thought that was Derrick Jackson.
Derrick Jackson is the one on the left in the maroon shirt.
Okay.
The woman with the glasses on. That was him and his devoted wife.
Okay.
This woman on the right was the side chick, and this is her real baby daddy.
Okay. I don't know why I thought that was Derrick Jackson behind her, too. They kind of look alike. They kind of favor each other. But that's the real baby daddy, not Derrick Jackson.
We right. But he done bought her a house and all these things, and he was crying all on social media about the whole situation.
So Derrick got played.
He got played. Himself,
really.
Right. And he thought the grass was greener on the other side. And thought he was apparently upgrading by divorcing his devoted wife to be with this other woman. And basically, I think Derrick was really her side piece. Like,
yeah. She played him.
She played him. She got a house out of this whole thing.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Derrick Jackson was like giving people relationship advice, wasn't he? Wasn't it his whole claim to fame?
I don't know what his claim to fame was. I have just been keeping up with what the people have been saying on social media.
Let us know in the chat.
What is he even famous for?
Yeah, I feel like that's what he was doing. Because it was like you giving all these people like crazy advice. Okay. Yeah, it is pronounced Jackson. And he's considered, they're talking about politics, but I thought he was talking about relationships. Y'all put it in the chat. But I say all that to say, if this is a man who calls himself to know anything about relationships, like, this is not the example we want to be following.
No.
Ladies or men, we don't want to follow that example.
No, not at all.
Mm-mm, that's not the move. So... did his wife respond, or did she kind of?
How would you respond as an ex-wife? Would you just be like laughing and one. Like, you know,
yeah,
shaking your head like karma? Like, you know, this reminds me of that Tyler Perry movie where you leave your 80%.
Multiple Tyler Perry movies, yeah.
What movie am I talking about? Is it
you're talking about Why Did I Get Married? Yeah, but I'm like, you saw that in Diary of a Mad Black Woman. You know, I think it might even been in Madea's Family Reunion. We didn't see that storyline a couple times in some Tyler Perry movies.
He need to watch the Tyler Perry movie. Like, we could have told you how this was gonna end for you.
So okay,
we. He must not be watching the movies.
I feel like, and I know we got a segment called Advice, which we're going to get, but I feel like we might need to give these people some advice too. Is there any advice that you would give to any of these four people that are pictured here?
Well, Derrick, I think you need to... Well, your wife sounds like she was devoted to Christ.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to go back and find your relationship with God and Amen. Do some reflecting. That would be my advice to him. To his ex-wife, keep doing you, boo. Keep your relationship strong in the Lord. And he is a God that restores. I do know that. So my advice to her is keep it moving, because you are valuable and worthy. And
Amen.
And just because that man didn't value you and see you as a treasure and gift doesn't mean somebody else won't. So,
and I would say to the people that, you know, think the grass is greener on the other side, Let me just say the grass is green wherever you water it. That means you're going to have to work wherever you, where whatever side you want, whatever side of the fence you're on.
When you yes.
You're going to have to work. You're going to have to work to get right for yourself. And then once you get married, you're going to have to work at your marriage. And then even for those that are married, when things get tough, and of course, I'm not saying, you know, stay in it if you're being abused or abandoned or what have you. But when things get challenging, and I say when, because they will get challenging, that's when you really need to like lean into the Lord first and foremost, but then also to your spouse. And that's also why it's super important to make sure that you are marrying a man or woman of God. Like, I cannot emphasize that enough. I will continue to emphasize that as long as there's breath in my body. It's so important that you marry a legitimate man or woman of God. Legitimate meaning they love the Lord with or without you. They love the Lord whether you're in the picture or you're not in the picture. They love the Lord more than they love you because that's who they desire to please. And usually, if something looks too good to be true, it is. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. You could take that however you want to take it. You know, if you're single and a brother stepped to you saying and doing all the right things, it might not be legit. I'm just saying, because we all have flaws, yourself included. If he looked like he's a perfect 10, I'm just saying, too good to be true. And then even when things are looking rough in your marriage and somebody rolls up saying all the right things, doing all the right things, and you about to leave your spouse to go buy a house for somebody else. I'm saying if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. So water the grass wherever you are and make sure that whoever you are entertaining is a true, legit man or woman of God. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
All right. Anything else on this before we move on?
Let's move on to this next all right. one.
This one we've been talking about, actually, I say we because it's been a hot topic in our household. It's been a hot topic on Trackstars. And I was like, I'm glad Trackstars discussed it, but I told my husband, I was like, y'all needed a married woman and B, a married mother with children on there to talk, to share their perspective. Because while I thought they did a great job, and again, shout out to Miracle and Shania for bringing perspective. And even Miracle trying to, you know, give insight as it relates to the whole how things shift when you're married or you become a mother. I was like, they needed somebody like on the microphone that was married or a mother. Yeah. So we're going to do that tonight, Tori. We got to bring our perspective. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go. Here's the clip. Here's the clip, y'all.
Want kids. I didn't want to get married. I thought I was going to be career girl and that's it. And I had my eyes set on my goals. And I was never the little girl that like dreamt about the wedding dress and all of that. And then it happened so early in my life.
Did you talk to Steph about it?
He tries to resonate with me, but he just can't. And he also comes from a place of like, it's effing stupid. Like, it's not true. So why are you? And I'm like, but wait, like, listen to how it makes me feel. And he's like, but why does it make you feel like that? It's not real. After we got married, we found out we were pregnant with our daughter so quickly. I didn't even have time to think about what I wanted anymore. It's so interesting. I spent my entire life like trying to work towards something and then it kind of just disappeared and I didn't think twice about it. But after my daughter turned one, I remember there being a shift and being like, I have goals for myself. Like, this doesn't feel right. I love being a mom, but I love doing other things too. And I need to get my shit together and figure out what that looks like for myself now.
If I have a career and I'm not home, like, did you experience that?
I still experience that. I still experience that. I'm almost like, I'm always in therapy talking about this. If you lose all of those things that were interesting about you, even for yourself, like even the things that made me feel confident and cool, then what, like, what do you do?
All right. That's Aisha. That's our girl Aisha, who has sparked many a debate between men and women over the past, and I would even say since this clip went out. I mean, she has ruffled feathers in the past, talking about, you know, wanting attention from men or wondering why she doesn't get attention from men as a married woman. Like, she has ruffled many a feathers with her commentary. And I see both sides of the coin, but let me start with you, Toya. What are your thoughts as it relates to this clip?
Okay. So I can resonate with how she feels, mm-hmm. as far as like feeling like when the children come, there are certain things that you may have wanted that gets put in the back burner. But when you become married, you become one. And you give up the I. You give up a lot of the I, what I want. And it becomes about us. What do we want as a family? How do we move as a family? Now, when children come, that adds a whole nother layer to the family. You still have to consider your children in all your different decisions. Like, you made the choice to have the children. The choice is to have the children. You have to deal with your choices. You made the choices. Just like I had four kids. Life is hard with four kids. I love all of my four kids. I have to take care of my four kids. And sometimes things that I want to do, I can't always do it because there are other priorities. You have to reprioritize. Not to say that you can't have the things that you want out of life, because granted, I'm also an author, a podcaster. I have a full-time job in leadership position, and there's other things coming down in the future that, you know, I'm working. All the things. Yeah. All the things. Plus, I make time for my children. I have to prioritize. I have some that have some special needs, and, you know, y'all hear me talking about Mason and the seizures, and I be dealing with elopement and all kinds of things that my kids need ABA therapy and all this extra stuff that I have to schedule. You got to schedule appointments, doctor's appointments. You got to schedule appointments for yourself. There is just so many different layers in life, and it's hard. I get it. But I would never, ever say out loud, like, I didn't want, I would never say that out loud in a public, such a public manner, because like your children, when they get older, they're gonna go back and somebody gonna be like, look what your mama said. He didn't want y'all. Like, you know, it's gonna come back up. Like, you have to be very, very, very careful with what you are putting out into the world to remain on the internet and the universe, and your children are going to grow up and see it. And then I felt bad for Steph too a little bit. You're never supposed to make your husband look bad like that. I was taught that even in premarital counseling. That was one of the things we did talk about, like not letting your spouse look bad, like when you having conversations with your family or just in general. Don't make, like, it doesn't matter what y'all are, what kind of arguments and different stuff y'all are dealing with. Like, don't air out all of that in front of your family, because your family can get offended and then hold grudges against your spouse once y'all have already resolved it and moved on. Like, you have to be very wise in your words and when you're trying to build up your husband and your family. Like, you have to be so very careful with the words that you speak. So I it's okay to talk about that stuff in therapy, in a private, confidential setting. I would not have said those things out loud like that in a podcast platform. But I do get it. I do get her feelings. I understand. But we got to deal with it as women. Like, you, but you made those choices to get married at a young age.
Yeah.
And then you had children at a young age. Like, that it life changes when kids, it's part of it.
I get it. And thank God for you, Toya. Thank God for your perspective. Thank God you know the Lord, like, for real. Because me, I totally get that perspective. I understand and agree with that perspective. But like I said, I see both sides of the coin. And I'm like, where to start? A couple of things. Number one, I think podcasting, you know, we're podcast hosts. You know, we try our best to have a layer of vulnerability and transparency with our audience. I mean, it's in the theme or the intro to the show, to break the silence in the female community, you know, while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing. So we try our best to be honest. To your point, it should never be at the expense of our spouses or our children. I feel like Aisha was just trying to be her vulnerable and authentic self and really not say that she's not grateful for her children, that she doesn't love her children, but that they really weren't a part of her plan initially. And I mean, we can all look back and say, you know, well, this wasn't a part of my plan, but here we are, you know, for the better, or in some cases it could be for the worse, but God always knows what's best and allows things to happen in his sovereignty. So all that to say, I don't feel like she was putting her kids out on front or her husband on Front Street like that. But to your point, the media, and they have, could use it that way. And I think just because of who she is, there's a bigger bullseye or target on her. So definitely feel like there could be some wisdom there. But then I will also say too, I appreciated her transparency. Here's what I think the scenario is, because I can identify. I think when Aisha and Steph met and started dating, she was the hot shot and he was like, you know, either the nerd, or, I mean, he still looks like a 12-year-old boy now to me. I mean, he's now just now looking like grown man, but Steph has always had like a boyish energy to him. So I think she was like, you know, I'm that chick, you know, and yes, I love him, but I'm that chick. And I think she has always been used to getting the attention and didn't necessarily think her husband would turn into one of the greatest basketball players of all time. If I'm being honest, I love me some Steph. And so now that he is who he is, the tables have turned, where it's not necessarily like, ooh, look at Aisha. Yes, Aisha's beautiful. Aisha is gorgeous. Aisha is a married mother of four now, though, also. So, and she's married again to one of the greatest basketball players of time. So I don't think anybody is really trying to step to her like that, whether she, regardless of how she looked, because they respect her husband and she should be glad about that. I think some women, especially, and you correct me if I'm wrong, especially after they have children, have this, do I still have it moment? And I think for her, she's very much like trying to prove that she still got it. Aisha, you still got it. You don't need nobody to tell you, you still got it. You still got it. You fly, you beautiful. You have a lovely family. You don't need anybody but the Lord and your husband to tell you that. Okay. So I think that's what it is. And again, I'm not using that to justify it all, but I think there's just an element of her just trying to figure out, like, how did the script get flipped on me like this, where, you know, I'm his wife instead of he my husband. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did that happen? And I think for her, it has taken some time, is taking some time to, like, figure that out. To your point, though, you need to figure that out behind closed doors, because it's you got a big bullseye on you. And thank God.
Absolutely.
Thank God your husband know the Lord. And thank God y'all have had those conversations prior to you sharing them in public. But still, it does not paint him in the best light. So with that being said, what advice would you give to our girl, Aisha?
Okay, number one, don't stop sharing all your all of that. Be wise in the things that you're sharing because of who you are and who your spouse is. That's number one. Number two, if you are still struggling, and it sounds like she is struggling with trying to navigate life with children and a husband and all the different things that comes along with that, it's a huge responsibility. And I understand ambition because I'm ambitious. Like, I get it. I had to reevaluate some things in my life to make it make sense. And I had to do some rebalancing and some outsourcing. And she has the funds and resources to outsource some of those things. Like, we have therapists come into the house and work with some of our children. So it's like extra support. She can probably afford, you know, some nannies and different, like, things to kind of
alleviate. She can afford it.
She can afford to have extra help, like, in the house where she doesn't have to do so many things. It's very demanding to take care of a house, like dinner, cooking, cleaning, homework, even, like, tutoring, like, all of those different things. And each kid has their own unique needs.
Yeah.
So they've got the resources to outsource some of those responsibilities so that she can focus on whatever her desires are that she feels like she's not able to do. It's all about reprioritizing, outsourcing where you need help, so that you can feel like you're doing the things that makes you feel complete or whole, or what God has called you to, what your purpose is. And I would say definitely get in your prayer closet for sure, and go to the Lord and pray like for guidance and direction. Because I feel like she's in a good spot. And like, if you have funds and resources, you should be able to do all the things. It's just a matter of how to direct it and the strategy and being intentional in those different decisions, and clearly communicate with your spouse on your desires and how you both can work together to get it done so that you both feel fulfilled.
That's really good. And to your point, I know they have the resources, and I'm sure they're outsourcing certain things so that they can, you know, navigate all that they need to navigate as a family of six. Like, they have four kids. I keep forgetting about their youngest, but I'm like, yeah, they have four kids, two girls and two boys now. So, so they definitely have the resources. I think the real issue is more deep-seated. I think, and you hit the nail on the head where you, like, get in your prayer closet, because I think the real issue is about identity and attention. And yes, your identity gets rocked when you get married. It's supposed to. Like you said, you go from I to we. And so there's definitely an element there of dying to yourself, to your wants, to your needs, you know, so that you can live for something greater. You know, that's really how marriage is supposed to work. Doesn't mean it's easy. Absolutely not. Doesn't mean that her feelings are invalid. Absolutely not. I'm saying you cannot stay there. You cannot ooze from there. Like, it's like, this is a wound. Yes. Are you going to treat the wound or are you going to infect the wound? Right now, the wound looks infected. So let's.
And a Band-Aid can't cover it. Mm-mm. It cannot.
No. So make sure that you're doing the work. Therapy is great, but Jesus is better. So both I recommend, and making sure that you are like really unpacking these things with the Lord so that you can really find your identity in Him first and foremost. And then the attention piece is a real thing also. And I get it. Sometimes we feel like that's where our validation comes from, but again, it does not come from people. It don't even come from my husband or our children. It comes from the Lord, like for real. And so that validation piece really has to be addressed as well. Because here's the thing. You could talk to your husband. You could say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I want. Can we work towards this? And you get what you're asking for and still be like, well, I feel like I should be doing this by now instead, or I should be here instead. Or how come nobody paying attention to me? How come nobody? You could get all the things you ask for and still have the same issue. So you gotta deal with the root. You have to deal with the root. So yeah.
And content.
That would be my advice. Yeah. And
being content.
Yeah.
I think the Bible really talks about being content no matter what season you're in. Yeah. And I know that's a lesson that I have been learning these past years. Yeah. It's just being content with my life and the things that I have. It doesn't matter if I don't have all of my wants, all of my needs have been taken. Just be content. Be content. Because you are blessed. And Aisha, you are blessed. You are abundantly blessed in comparison to the majority of the people in the world.
Well, and here's the thing, because I wanna address that too. I think, and this is what I didn't like about the shade that she was getting, because you know, you get a lot of people on the outside looking in and they see the money, they see the fact that she's married and that she has the beautiful family. But at the end of the day, that's not where happiness comes from. That's not where contentment comes from. That's not where fulfillment comes from. It can contribute to it. But if you're on the outside looking in, you think, oh, because you have all of these things, you have no right to be unhappy or no right to want something else. And to me, that's not true either. You know what I'm saying? Like you be like, oh, well, you ain't got nothing to complain about. You got money, you got a husband, you got kids. No, you could still be struggling, you could still be going through stuff. You know, I mean, I feel like people would say the same thing about you, Toya. Like, oh, you have the beautiful family, you know, you have the beautiful house or career, whatever. You have nothing. No, you have life is hard, period. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't want us to make
walk a day in my shoes.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, y'all gonna see.
That's what I'm saying. And, and quite honestly, Aisha could say the same. So I don't want to discount. I don't want to discount what she is feeling. I want to make sure that she's really allowing the Lord to address it and not trying to pacify it. You get what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. She is blessed though. But guess what? We blessed too. That's all I'm saying. So I don't want it to be like, oh, you ain't have a care in the world. Or that you're blessed more than other. No, we don't know that. We really don't. We really don't. So that's all.
Yes.
Any other advice?
That's all I got.
She's like, that's all I got. I think that's it. We did say we'll talk further about it. I feel like we opened a can of worms talking about submission, but I feel like that's a whole nother episode.
I think Miracle and Shania wanted to I'm back for that.
Yes, yes. So we'll talk further about that. But yeah, I think that's all we got for advice. So yeah, do you have anything for top picks? Anything you want to recommend?
I mean, I've been still in my the same Bible study. It's called, I think I talked about it already, The Prayer of Jabez. Mm-hmm. That's the Bible study. And of course, I'm reading my Bible too. Those are the main things that I'm reading currently. I'm not reading anything for leisure currently. Yeah. Don't really have much time to watch anything right now. So yeah, that's it for me.
I feel you. Yeah, I'm not reading anything leisurely right now either. I'm reading the Word of God, like for real, and dissecting it. I think I had mentioned a couple seasons back about a Bible study method that Priscilla Shire uses with the five P's, talking about when you read a passage, identify the practical or physical principles, the spiritual principles, pose a question, and plan obedience. Like, really, really dissect the word. And so I'm trying to be super intentional with that. I'm in the Old Testament. And it's amazing to me, like, how history repeats itself, or how you start to see the root of today's issues, even. And so it's like, wow, like, God is so strategic and so sovereign, and there really isn't anything new under the sun, you know? So I just really been trying to dive into the word. And like I said, really, really in the midst of feeling stressed out and overwhelmed, trying to prioritize health, making sure that I'm taking the time that I need to get rest, being mindful of what I'm putting in my body, taking time to step away, even when things aren't perfect or where I want them to be when I step away, like being okay with that. And so, yeah, those are my top picks. Yeah. So.
Yes. Well, we are both dissecting the word. So, you know, going through it nice and slow this time and just really taking my time. I think this is my third time like going through it, but I'm going nice and slow and trying to make sure I really get it down in my spirit,
yeah,
and in my heart, and like really understand what God is showing me through the scriptures and stuff. Yeah. So yeah.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anything else in closing before we close out?
That's it. Everybody, make sure you get your merch at becomingevatoday.com. Get your mugs, your water bottles, your totes, your slides, your shirts. I think we still have some dresses there. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are trying to increase our YouTube numbers of subscribers. So just make sure you subscribe to our channel on YouTube. And of course, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Becoming Eva Today. And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.